So tonight we're on the Sunday Night Experience, the Big Book, and we're on page 64. Just a few things. If you're listening to the podcast, if you get on the site, if you look at resources for recovery and you look under manifestations of self or self, you'll see the handout that we're using tonight. This handout has helped me a lot. It tells me really everything I need to know about my disease, really. It's all here. We're going to use this today because we started step four last week. We're on page 64. And I talked about self and how it manifested. We're going to look at the manifestations of self in the fourth step. Fourth step is really not well understood to people when they come in. Most people have never gone through it. In the Big Book, there are all sorts of treatment center four-step handouts, but the four-step in the Big Book is very simple and very clear. And the other thing I was thinking about is that you shouldn't really, if you're new, don't spend a lot of time trying to get to the four-step. The first two steps are covered in 58 pages in the doctor's opinion, and you only have to be convinced of the first step and admit something, and truly admit and understand what makes you an alcoholic and why you're powerless and why your life is unmanageable. And the second step is, are you willing to believe that there's a power greater than you that can help you? Now, that's not very complicated, is it? Especially if you're a real alcoholic and you've hit bottom, you can sort of, you've lived your first step. And then the third step is just a decision. And it's just a decision that your game plan for living is never going to work. And you're going to fire yourself as the coach of your team, and you're going to get a new game plan and a new coach. And you're just making a decision to do that. Now, if you don't want to do that, keep going on with your game plan and your coach, and then eventually AA has a plan that'll work for you. So you're making a decision in step three that you don't want to run your life anymore, and you're going to have your new director of God, and you're going to get right relationship with God because you want him to be your director. And you want to turn over your thinking and your actions to him. Anybody think that's a good idea? Yes. Not very complicated. Now, here's the deal. How do you follow that through? See, that's the thing. You can make the decision, say the third step prayer, but you have to take the actions to follow through on it. And initially, you work steps 4 through 9, and then steps 10, 11 is how you stay doing the action every day. And then 12 is where you work with others and you practice the principles in your affairs. So I would urge you, one of the reasons I started this meeting is because I knew there was very little teaching on how to do the steps out of the book. And so I wanted to have a meeting where we would go through it, we would see the directions, and then it's up to you if you want to do it or not. And then I know people have come here and done it, and now they're sponsoring other people, and that really was the idea. So we would have a group of people that understood the directions, and then they could help someone else, and then help someone else. And I've seen that. I've seen two or three generations of people since we started working with others. Now, this chart here on self, it has really so much information, and this is really the disease of alcoholism. And it's said on page 64 that on the second full paragraph that we're going to look at our lives and we're going to do a personal inventory of our lives, a written assessment of my life, and we're going to do it similar to a business inventory, and we're going to find the facts and face the facts and discover the truth about me and my thinking and my actions. And if I know the truth, then I can face and be rid of it. If I don't know the truth, I can't act on, I've been acting on wrong thinking, and that's what we're going to look at on this chart. We want to act on right thinking. Does that make sense? So it says, we did exactly the same things with my life. So that's what you're going to do in step four. You're going to take stock honestly of your life up to this point. And you're going to search out the flaws in your makeup which caused your failure. And so we're going to search out the flaws in me that caused my failure. But the first thing we're going to do is convince that self, anybody convinced that self manifested in various ways defeated me? Anybody agree with that? Yes. We're going to consider its common manifestations. So this chart is important information that everybody should know. Now, self is at the center there, you see? And we have at the top the three instincts of life. Everybody has these instincts. We've always had them. All human beings have them. And we have a social instinct, a security instinct, or a sex instinct. Without these instincts, the human race would never have survived. The first cavemen had these instincts. They banded together. They learned how to keep warm and build shelter. They learned how to kill the mastodon. They learned how to have sex, and then they had more of them. And then that helped build bigger shelters and kill more mastodons, and then they were able to survive. But think about it. Think how hard it was for the early humans to survive without these instincts. So these instincts are all good. What happens is, if I'm at the center of my world and I'm directing it and I'm the center of the world, anybody else ever been there? Anybody there today? Then I have a social instinct and I decide how I want my social instinct to be fulfilled. Now, nobody else told me this but me. And I decide what I need for companionship. I decide what I need for prestige. I decide about my self-esteem, what I think of myself, high or low. I'm the one who does this. My pride, I decide whether I have an excessive or a justified opinion of myself, either positive or negative. My personal relationships, I decide what I need in the personal relationships. And I decide on my ambitions. Nobody else does it but me. Now, that's not bad in itself. But when I decide that, then what I do is I put these things as a goal and they become my higher power. And then they replace God. And when I decide what my ambitions should be, if anybody interferes with them, watch out. Because then I get angry at them. Think about it. If anybody comes between me and what I think my ambition should be, I can be afraid. So fear and anger are the natural result of anybody or anything coming between myself and what I want, my social instincts. Anybody to have personal relationships? Anybody had any? We've all had personal relationships. A lot of them didn't work out because we decided what we had to have in them and how people had to be and how they had to act. And if they didn't act the way we wanted, we got angry. Or we were afraid that they would take away from us what we wanted. And then our pride, how I see myself, was dependent on my other people and was dependent on things outside of me and God. And my self-esteem was always dependent on what other people thought of me. How's that working for you? It's pretty hard because either you think you're no good or you're too good. And you can be no good and too good in the same sentence, within the same and towards the same person. It's hard to believe. People aren't alcoholic, don't understand this. But my self-esteem is threatened. Then I get angry or I get afraid. Same with prestige or companionship. And so that caused me a lot of problems in life. And we're going to see how we use this in the fourth step. Anybody want security? Anybody want material things? We decide what we want materially, right? And then when we do, God forbid anybody comes between us to what we want or threatens it or we become afraid. And then here's the sad thing. No matter what we decided we needed, when we get it, it's not enough. And then we're afraid we won't get more. And the same thing with companionship. We get accepted or belong, and then it's never enough. We want more acceptance. We want more prestige. Our ambitions never end because we're never satisfied. Why? Because I'm trying to feel good about myself based on outside things. It'll never work. So in the material world, I was constantly getting threatened. I don't know about you. Resentments or fear. They have a bigger house. I want a bigger house. I can't get a bigger house. Or the house I have is no good. It's falling apart. Or they have more bigger car. Or they have more things. Here's the big one, emotional. Base my needs on another person or persons. How'd that work for me? You're always getting threatened, and you get angry, you get afraid. And then your ambitions, my plans. I think we looked at it yesterday with Bill W. He went to Akron. He had a plan, right? He was going to get that deal, and he was going to get everything he wanted, and then we wouldn't be here today. And he probably would have gotten drunk. But it didn't work out for him, and we're here today. So these things aren't bad, but I decide what I need. And if anything comes between them and me, I get angry or fearful. Now, here's another thing. I hurt a lot of people trying to get these things. I committed a lot of harms. And then in your sex lives, you decide what you needed for your sex life, and you hurt a lot of people, you hurt yourself, you got threatened, and you got afraid. And a lot of the things we did with the sex instinct had nothing to do with sex per se, but power, prestige, pride, our ambitions, material things. It all got intermingled in here. So if you're a self-centered alcoholic, this was what you were. You were self-getting all of this. Now, in the fourth step, it says we're going to take a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. Anybody ever seen that? Anybody ever heard it in a meeting? What we're going to do in the fourth step is we're going to look at our wrongs. It says self manifests in various ways. What is its manifestations of self? So the three manifestations, when I'm in self trying to get all these things, is I have wrong judgment, which is resentment. I have wrong belief, which is fear. And I have wrong actions, which is harms. So we're going to look in the fourth step at the harms, the fear, the resentments, and we work back from that to see how our instincts were threatened. And then between self and the wrongs, we should draw a line there, but I didn't want to ruin it. And we should put character defects. So when I'm in self trying to get all these instincts, I commit these wrong judgments, wrong belief, and harm people, and as a result, self triggers character defects, and character defects trigger wrongs. Now, what does this have to do with the fourth step? When the fourth step, we are going to inventory anger, fear, and our harms, especially in sex relations. And then what we're going to find, and we're going to go through the first three columns, and then we're going to learn how to forgive everybody we were angry at. And then in the fourth column, when we've done all that, I'm just giving you a preliminary, we're going to see how all of our anger triggered by self triggers my character defects. And I was selfish, dishonest, fearful, inconsiderate, judgmental, intolerant. We have the whole card there. I have to make some more cards. So you see, deciding what I want, running the world, is going to trigger character defects, and then I have wrongs, and the wrongs I see. And I'm disturbed and I'm angry and we drink over all of this. You get it? So we're going to learn and look at our life and see the truth about all these things. Now, this is never going to work. It's only going to work if I put God at the center and I ask God to help me decide what is best for me in all these areas. Now, how do we do that? We do that, but we have a vision of God's will in all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. Our whole purpose in AA is to be of service to God and others, not to get these things, but to use these things to be able to serve God and others. You see the difference? So God's the director, and we're going to follow. We're going to play the role he assigns. Now, remember, in step three, we signed the contract with God. Does everybody have it? You have your contract with God? It says, God has responsibility for two things, worry and giving me everything I need spiritually. And then my job is to stay close to him and do his work well, not worrying about all this. Does this make sense? Now, of course, God wants us to have material things so we can be safe and we can provide for our loved ones and we can take care of others. You see, these are all good things. But remember, in the big book, it says we were self-will run riot. Anybody have that? Yeah, we are completely out of control. And we can get that way in sobriety. You can get that way on the way home. And we don't want to do that anymore. So we're going to learn tools now to look at my thinking. So when I have the thinking now, after I've done the fourth step, I know it's wrong. I learn how to inventory it. I learn how to say the prayers, and I stop. And then I don't have to go down this road. I don't have to stay angry. I don't have to stay fearful. And I hopefully don't harm anybody anymore. We do have anger. We still have fear. But we learn tools that when we recognize them, we stop and ask God and we change the way we see him. Does this make sense? So in 64, it says resentment is the number one offender. We went through that. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. So when I'm in self and I have wrong judgment, anybody do that? Was I the only one? Anybody do it today? Anybody do it on the way here? Anybody doing it right now? You're saying, is he ever going to shut up? And so wrong judgment, and it's a wrong judgment, by the way, if you're doing that. And it's wrong judgment, it kills me. Why? How can being angry kill me? Because God's not in this picture, and he has no power in my life. He's there, but I've given my power to my anger and judgment, and then I have no power not to drink. Now, if you're sober a long time, you can get angry and fearful for a long time. It'd be pretty miserable, but eventually most people drink. And the ones who don't are just miserable. So if you want emotional sobriety and you're sober right now, you want to do these steps so you have some peace and serenity and a useful life. So it from resentment stems all form of spiritual disease. And I talked about the spiritual disease is that we're dis-ease with God. We're out of sync with God. And it says we'd not only be mentally and physically ill, we've been spiritually sick. Anybody agree with that? We were very spiritually sick. So here's the deal. When the spiritual malady, this illness, this separation from God is overcome, then I straighten out mentally and physically. So the program of AA is not to teach you how to drink better or drink less. It doesn't teach you how to say no when you think you want to drink, because we can't do that. But it teaches you how to get connected to God, who gives you power to live. And God will say, alcohol's a bad idea. And God will say, being angry is a bad idea. And being afraid is a bad idea. We talked about fear yesterday. Because Bill W., when he was in the lobby to the Akron Mayflower Hotel, he said fear gripped him. He knew he was in a dangerous place. He was thinking about going into the bar. And fear gripped him. And he shivered and turned away. And God told him it was a bad idea. And he said, I thank God. And that's why we're here today, because he had a relationship with God. And he turned away from that bar. And then he met Dr. Bob, and we talked about that yesterday. So it says, in dealing with resentments, now these are, I'm being facetious, these are very complicated instructions. Extremely complicated. You get paper. Anybody know what paper is, right? Mm. So you get a notebook. It doesn't tell you what kind of notebook. It doesn't tell you what kind of paper or pen. But you get a paper. And you're dealing resentments. You're going to put your resentments on paper. Now, you're not going to think them through and talk about them. It's not therapy. And you don't want somebody to tell you that you're doing great, that this is good thoughts. You're going to put them on paper so you can look at them, so you can see how harmful they are and how wrong they are. So it says, you list people, institutions, or principles with whom you are angry or were angry. Here's another thing. People say, well, this happened 10 years ago, and I don't know. I'm really not mad at them today. Put it down. Anytime you were angry, it says, with whom you were angry. People, you know what people are. Institutions could be AA, church, the police department, Trump's mad at the NFL players. It's endless. Endless the crap that we could get angry at. In fact, if you really do a thorough inventory, you'll see how much time you wasted your whole life being angry. And institutions and principles could be, you might not like the Ten Commandments. You might not like the 12 steps. There are a lot of principles that people don't like. Why? Because they don't do them. And so they don't like them. So that's all you do. You list them. And you do it, and you do the list first of everybody whom you're angry. You notice how you do it? Now, on the other side is an example. He gives four names. But you do all the names first. A lot of people say, I have no resentments. A lot of people, and they have one. And then after a while, maybe they'll think of another. I say, listen, just carry a piece of paper around. And just anytime a name pops into your head, put it there. And it's not a contest. You don't have to have a lot. But it's important to put enough down that you can see how angry you were. and you go back to your, if you don't know, think about anybody you ever had a relationship with. All of your relatives, anybody ever worked with or went to school, or any of your teachers, you'll get names. You get a lot of names. Why? People bothered you. At least they bothered me. A lot of people bothered me. They just bothered me. I judged everybody, and what was I doing? I was making myself sick. I had somebody call me today, they can't come tonight, but they were upset. They were living in a place where everybody was bothering them. And they were living with alcoholics. I said, well, of course they're going to bother you, because they're not doing what they should. I said, well, they're alcoholics. Of course not, but you don't have to be bothered by that. And then you know the prayer, and we have to stay out of that, because it just makes us sick. So you do that, you ask yourself, and then here's the second part. This is why I went through this chart. You ask yourself why you're angry. So you write down bullet points and why you're angry. It could be ex-wife, ex-husbands, they're very common, mom, dad, just bullet points. You know, they didn't love me enough, they didn't buy me a present when I was 8 years old, or all sorts of nonsense. We have a lot of reasons why we're angry at people, but they seem real, but you put them down. Short things, because we really aren't interested in what they did, because we can't change what they did and we can't change their names. We want to change how we see them. And then when you look at what they did, then you're going to be able to figure out, well, why did they do that? So first, just do the names, and then do why you were angry, the cause. And then here's the third column. And this is where I learned so much about myself. But I didn't learn it right away. I didn't learn it till I really started doing these meetings, and I listened to a lot of speakers, and Herb Kay, even though he's more boring than I am, he really went through this false sense of beliefs. See, the third column is, I'm going to look, and it says that I found that my self-esteem, you see that on this instinct? My pocketbooks, material, my ambitions, my personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So remember, if you're running the world, and you're interacting with the world, you're going to be angry whenever these things are threatened. Now, the reason that I was threatened by these things is I had a false sense of, he calls a false sense of beliefs about myself, a false sense of what I needed to have self-esteem or pride or what I needed materially or how I looked at myself. And I was never okay with myself just being Michael. I don't know what would have happened if I didn't get into medical school. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I would have survived, because my whole life was focused on becoming a doctor so people, my mother would love me, and everybody would look up to me in the community, and nobody really gave a crap. But it wasn't a bad thing, but I was so insecure and I had such low self-esteem that unless I went to medical school, my God, I don't know what I would have done. Thank you, God. But you know, it worked out. I was a good doctor, but my motives were, I wanted to help people, but it was really about my self-esteem and about approval and being loved. And if you look back at your life, you look at yourself and you see how it dominated you. And I couldn't be okay just being Michael and not going to medical school. That never occurred to me. See, it was a false sense of self of what I needed to be okay, what I needed materially. And so you can see that in the third column. And it says on this grudge list, we set opposite each name's our injury. You see, we're injured. What we see ourselves and these instincts of life actually make up myself, my thinking about myself. I was hurt or threatened. I was sore. I was burned up. So this is a grudge list. Your resentment list is a grudge list. And you set opposite each name your injuries. Was it your self-esteem, you see? Security. Ambitions, personal or sex relationships, which have been interfered with. So a lot of people, when they do the inventory, they don't see this. So today, if I'm upset at somebody, it's something on this sheet that is threatening me. And I don't get as threatened today because I don't see myself the way I did when I came in. I see myself differently. And so you get a lot of information. And so there's seven things. It says self-esteem, pocketbooks, ambition, personal relationships, security, There are six or seven things, and you can put those down in your third column. It's always self-esteem and pride on your first one for everything. And then interfered with. So here's this example. So here's so that's the third column. So you do all the names, then you write the causes. That shouldn't be hard. You know why you're angry at people, don't you? Usually you are. And then you look at these things and you'll see, and you just don't say the name. Just don't say self-esteem, but think how I felt about myself. How did these people threaten how I thought about myself? And you'll see it. You see, and you, and it was really illuminating. So here's, let's look at the example. This is a great one. I love this one, Mr. Brown. So I'm resentful at Mr. Brown. Now, the other thing is, when I came here, all of my resentments made sense. Did anybody else's resentments make sense? They all made sense. They were the reason I got here. And if I told somebody, I had 40 or 50 minutes of somebody listen to me, and they heard about all the things, they said, oh my God, I would have drank too. How did you do it? You know, and it sounds so good. Am I the only one that ever had that? Because it's true. In our minds, we think it's true. That's why we inventory it, because we're going to see how our thinking was so wrong. So look at this one. Mr. Brown, he's mad at Mr. Brown. He pays attention to my wife. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? You would be mad at Mr. Brown, wouldn't you? Told my wife of my mistress. How dare him? How dare him tell my... He's paying attention to my wife, and he told her I have a mistress. Isn't that ridiculous? Well, you think that threatens his self-esteem and his pride and his sex instinct and material and companionship and ambitions? And he says, Brown may get my job at the office. So he's hitting all three. He's hitting all the big ones. So you would be resentful, Mr. Brown, too. In fact, if you saw this, he should be executed. There's no doubt about it. Let's just take Mr. Brown out. Well, in our minds, we want to execute some of these people. Anybody have anybody they wanted to execute when they came in here? Anybody have more than one? Anybody have any today? Well, be quiet, don't say. But seriously, we went right from being a little angry to wanted to snuff them out. It sounds crazy, but we really our anger went out of control. I don't know if I'm being ridiculous or not, but you know, when I came in here, I had a lot of anger, and a lot of them made a lot of sense to me. And after I did the inventory, you know, I was able to forgive all those people, and I realized that had a lot to do with everything that happened. And they were just who they were, and I had a lot of bad thinking and actions. So let's look at this thing. Now, it affects his sex relations, right? And his self-esteem and fear. Whenever we're afraid, our self-esteem is being threatened. That's another thing. If you're afraid, your self-esteem, what you think of yourself, is being threatened. And his security. Now, here's the deal. We'll just start with this. All this seems true, right? It looks good, doesn't it? Well, he has a mistress. He's drinking, and he's not showing up at work. So he's mad at Mr. Brown. He's paying attention to his wife because you're never home because you're with the mistress. You see how preposterous it is? And you're not at work because you're drunk all the time. And yet you couldn't see it when you came in here. And this is what we call the fourth column. We can look. And what was it triggered by? His selfishness, his self-centeredness, his inconsideration, his judgment, his intolerance, his lust, all of his character defects. So you see, this is what the fourth step is all about. I hope this makes it clear. It's not complicated, but we're going to go through, we're going to look at the directions, and we're going to follow it through. So these three columns, I like this one about the employer. He's unreasonable, unjust, and overbearing. Terrible employer. I don't know if he should be shot or not, but he's not a good guy. Threatens to fire me for my drinking. Isn't that unreasonable? It's just ridiculous. And I pad the expense accounts, and he's upset about that. You see how preposterous our resentments are? But he can't see it when he's angry at the employer. He'll go on a tirade. You hear people at meetings. New people come in. They talk about their resentments. They go on and on. And they make sense, but it's not true. It threatened the self-esteem and security, but the truth was, he was selfish, he was being dishonest, he was stealing, and he wasn't showing up for work. So then I'm just going to read a little bit more and we'll open it up. It says, we went back through our lives. Oh, here's one, his wife. He's mad at his wife, right? He's having an affair, and he's cheating on her, but she misunderstands him and nags him.
Yeah.
And likes Brown. And what's the house put in her name? I mean, really, God, execute her. Look at that. She deserves to die. But look at it. I'm having an affair. I'm not showing up at work. I'm a mess. You see how preposterous our resentments are? And you see why we have to put them on paper? Now, these are outrageous examples, but everybody in their inventory has some examples like this. And they're very painful because we believe them, and they hurt. These are very hurtful things that we saw happening to us. We want to be free of that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we went through our lives, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. So you go through your life of anger. We don't care where you went to school or your grades, where you were angry your whole life. Now, alcoholics are always angry and fearful. The other thing, and I remember Lori said this a few years ago, every resentment is there's fear behind it. So fear is dominating our lives and triggers, she did say that, triggers our lives and causes all of our resentments. So when we finished this, we considered it carefully. And it says, it's apparent was that this world and its people are often quite wrong. Anybody think that way when you came in here? To conclude that others was wrong, that was as far as most of us got. The usual outcome, so we thought they were wrong, we were sore, and we stayed sore, and we fought and tried to have our own way the worst it got, right? As in war, the victory only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. And then next week, we're gonna go through this resentment paragraph and how we can be free of anger. Does anybody wanna be free of anger?
Yes.
So we're gonna learn in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs, we're going to learn tools that once we've done the list, the first three columns, we can be free of anger. Now, if you've done this a lot, like today, if I start to be angry about something, something bothers me, I'm automatically say, well, what is the cause and what's threatened? And then I just say the prayer to stop being angry, and I realize it's usually fear or I'm self-centered in some way. And then I move on. And it's a waste of time. So I hope people got something out of it. I try and explain the principles behind the 4-step inventory. And congratulations again to the birthdays. And we'll pick up next week on page 66.